I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm holding to the unseen hand that guides me through this dreary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still holding to unseen hand. I'm holding to the unseen hand.
Brother Chris graduated from Trinity Baptist Bible College this year, and what a blessing he's been. He's music director over at Bible Baptist Church in Rendon. It only took him about how many years, Chris? I mean, it's measured in decades now. But the important thing is he finished. He finished. What's good, you know, young people, if you can learn this, the important thing in life is not just starting. There's a lot of starters. But what God's looking for are some finishers. Paul said, "I finished my course." And I hope if you go away with nothing else, that you'll go away knowing God wants you to be a finisher. And that means you do and fulfill the will of God for your life. Well, our first speaker tonight is Brother Jay Reed. Brother Jay Reed is the youth pastor at Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin, Illinois. And they just finished a few weeks ago their youth conference. Great youth conference up in that part of the country. And they had to put up with hot temperatures up there. But just remember, while there enjoying 68, they just thawed out last week from winter. The last snow just melted. And, it's been ugly up there. But they've had a wonderful conference. Brother Jay is being used in youth camps and youth conferences across this country. God's blessed him with a message that's relevant to teenagers. I get this because he's so childish in his mind. I'm sorry. I know he'll have the last word next to the last word. Let me put it that way. But we love Jay. Brother Reed is a blessing. and God is using him. You'll be blessed tonight if you listen on purpose. Brother Reed, we're glad you're here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Don't throw it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, preacher. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Turn to Psalm chapter 69 in your Bible, the 69th Psalm. Careful going down the steps. Brother Howells used to say, all right, this one is for you, and this one is for me. You know, you don't remember that, and I do. It's like rats off a sinking ship up here. They're just all away they go. I bought you all popsicles. And there in the parking lot, you can scoop them up. I had a whole armful. Good, not alive. It's not just hot, it's hot. Help us. We drove yesterday, we went to church in the morning, and we drove to Tulsa last night. And during the day, it got up to about 82, 83 up in Elgin. And at night, the low in Tulsa was about 82, 83 degrees. And we got up this morning, it was about 87, and we started driving south, and we went through big towns like Ogallmoogie or something. I don't remember that on 69 coming out of, or 75 coming out of Oklahoma there. And then we went by a few casinos on the way down. It's good to be an Indian, isn't it? Maybe he needs a new pair of moccasins. That's all Indians do anymore. All right, hey. No reservation there, man. Just show up. Dear Lord. I don't speak much Indian, but I think I know what most of the words mean. It's a slot machine, gamble, drink. I don't know. It's good to be an Indian. Praise the Lord. But then we hit, what's right on the border? Is it Denison? Right on the border there? That's where Dwight David Eisenhower was born in Denison, Texas. And then you work your way down into McKinney. Who else from Denison? Captain Sully. He's from Denison, Texas, huh? Cool under fire. Get the fire out of here. But went through Denison and then McKinney. I can't believe McKinney, Texas. My dad grew up in McKinney, and my grandfather used to pastor McKinney for years. There was nothing in McKinney. It was like Plano and then the big gap, and then there was McKinney, and there's nothing between Plano. Now it's just solid all the way out there, and McKinney's solid, and I couldn't believe that. And then I made it down the Metroplex in time for a few wrecks and some close calls. I came across I-30 at about 3:30, which is the ideal time to be on I-30. Got in the high occupancy vehicle lane, the old HOV, and we just hovered down. I had six people in the car, so I qualified. It's good to have my family with me. They're on the back row. If you feel something hit you in the back of the head, that's one of my children. Just don't turn around. Take it on faith. It's one of them. And it's good that they could be here tonight. It's good to see my friend, Brother Angel. It's been a whole 2 weeks since we preached together. I'm starting to get lonely. And in the meantime, his daughter Abby and Alan Miller got married, and so he is. He's broke, all right? So make sure you give good because he needs money. But he's happy to be past all that nonsense, and he's happy to have a new son in law. He's got a fine young man. Alan Miller's a good young man, and so he's. He's happy. He flew down because he's not a real man like me. I drive and try to save the church a little money and stuff like that. But it is good to be here. It's good to see my parents. My dad is mobile and hostile again. And I think the third one's senile, but you're not there yet. It's mobile, hostile, and senile. But he's moving around good, doing steps now, too. That's a good thing. He had, those of you who don't know, my dad had both of his knees. He donated them to homeless children, and they gave him a couple of replacements. He's a very thoughtful man. Neither one of them worked, so it really wasn't much of a deal for the homeless kid. But he's a homeless kid. Who cares? You know, kid. No, no, no. But he's recovering. He and Brother Smith will be on the front pew afterwards, showing off their scars. If you want to see those, they have the same doctor. And now they're telling all their friends. They got people coming from Alaska to get stuff replaced and stuff like that. Hey, y'all, come on down to Texas. We got knees and hips and stuff. It's good. I didn't see that in any of the tourist information, you know. I saw Six Flags and Texas Stadium, but I didn't see knees and hips on there. So, you know, whole new crowd of people coming to Texas. It's good to be here. I was born in Texas. I was born in Waco, Texas. Waco, Texas, just a few yards from Uncle Dave's house. And my dad and mom were caretakers on the ranch there until the big cookout, and we were gone that day, praise the Lord. That's what Waco stands for. Oh, you guys don't know about Waco? Okay, it's not just home of Dr. Pepper and the Baylor Bears and the Lone Star or the Texas Ranger Museum. It's also home of the Branch Davidian, well, what used to be the Branch Davidian compound. And depending on who you believe, they either set it on fire, the government did, and burned the whole thing down. Everybody inside of it, 70 people, just died that day. And so Waco stands for what a cookout now, or we ain't coming out, or something like that. I don't know. I heard the best way to pick up Branch Davidian girls was with a dustbuster. You can get those. It's just nasty right there. I'm trying to get my nerve up to preach. Give me a minute, all right? Hitting my stride. I'm almost there. Good to see my sister and brother-in-law. I appreciate all that. I saw Tom exactly where I was 2 weeks ago. On Monday before youth conference, you just got loose ends everywhere. You're tying up. The substantial thing, amount of things that you can foresee are done, but a few have crept up on you that you know, were in the notes somewhere, and then there's just a few things that had to be done at the end, and I saw him. He acknowledged my presence and just kept going. I mean, I just drove 1,400 miles to see him. Yes, sir? Oh, I thought you were going to say something there. Okay. Oh, that's cool. That's the Hiroshima sound. That's terrible. All right. That's actually the sound that my messages usually make. I'll let you figure that out. Blessing to see Brother Ogdy. And both the whole Ogdy clan came up for my youth conference, hung out up north. I was telling them about all the good weather we're going to have and everything, and they came, and it was 99, 100 degrees the whole time they were there. And the look of disappointment on their face was palpable. However, we go on a dinner cruise at my youth conference, and I'll tell you, he and Mrs. Ogdy can cut a rug. That is for sure. They had karaoke, and Jeremy was singing, and Mom and Dad were dancing. It's really a family thing, and I was... You know, it added that extra spark to youth conference. It's not usually there, but it is a blessing to be here. I love Trinity Baptist Church. I love opportunities, every opportunity that I have to be here. Young people, don't waste this week. Don't get something stupid in here. I'll get right on Wednesday night. I hope God's not trying to talk to you tonight. You've got it in your head. You're not going to get right till Wednesday night, because the thing you may need may be tonight. Every opportunity, you'll be able to count on your hands by the time you're 20 years old, 21 years old, how many times God spoke directly to you. Now, look, there are messages that speak to you, but I'm talking when the conviction is heavy and you know God is after you about something specific. Don't waste those times. Don't waste them. The only thing worse than God jumping your stuff and making you get rid of a bunch of stuff you don't want to get rid of is when God goes quiet in your life. Some of you are going to just ignore the Holy Spirit one time too many. And by the way, don't think that you're above God sticking you on a shelf and leave you. He did it to Abraham for 13 years. Abraham was 86 years old when he pulled what he pulled with Hagar. He was 99 before God started talking again. You can spend the next 13 years begging God to talk to you, and he's not. Child of God. Don't waste this week. Hey, young man, don't waste this week. Don't waste this week. God's got something for you. I know he does. I know the man that's speaking with me. And I'm telling you, every time Pastor Angel gets up to speak, it just been my experience that God has been all over it and he's talked to me and to my youth department. I'm looking forward to hearing him speak. Now, he may go other places and just crash and burn royally, but my place, he's always been good. I've heard a few tapes, brother, so I'm guessing it's all right. I want you to listen like your future depends on it, because it could not because of who's preaching, please. We're not interchangeable. You know, God has me here for a reason. God has Pastor Angel here for a reason. God has Pastor Grice here for a reason. The men they're going to speak to you this week, God has these men here for a reason. We're not interchangeable, but listen. It's not about personality. It's not, oh, I like his style of preaching. He's funny. You know, sometimes it's not found in the funny. Sometimes it's not the stuff that dazzles you that you need. So please listen this week and let God speak to your heart. Thank you, Pastor Smith, for inviting me to come. I'm honored to be here. It's good to be here among so many reeds. Usually we're spread out across the country for safety's sake. And it's good to be here. Psalm chapter 69 in your Bibles. We're going to... I don't have that one scheduled. Preach, we need to shut this thing down at 8 o'clock, right? Or a little before. I don't have that one scheduled, Brother Tom. Somebody, 8 o'clock, is that about right? 7:59? 7:50. There goes one joke. I have five now. I added one. They're the same ones you heard last year. I can either tell them or not. I mean, it's up to you. My wife forgets punchlines. She does. I've told her the same joke I don't know how many times. She just keeps smiling and laughing like she's hearing it for the first time. I don't think it's because she thinks that it's funny. I think she's just being a good wife. But I'll tell you how many ever. We can do them all five tonight and get it over with. We can do one and kind of spread it out over the times I'll speak. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. What do you think? Second row, what do you think? No pressure. Everybody's looking to you. Yeah, you. No. You, right here. You want one tonight or two tonight? Two tonight. All right, two it is. Okay, this is my new opener. There's this little Chinese boy. Wait, we got any Asian people in here? Let's do this for the next few minutes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Where's he at? Are you Asian? Filipino? Oh, that doesn't count. You're way over there. Everybody, all the rest of the Asians are over somewhere else. All right. Oh. All right. Well, I'll just pretend you're not here. There's this little Chinese boy, and his father's got him pinned up against the wall and said, "The son, did you push an outhouse in the Yangtze?" And that's a river. Yangtze River. And he doesn't say anything. Just looks at his dad. "Son, do you tell me, did you push an outhouse in the Yangtze?" Doesn't say anything. "I ask you one more time, son. You better tell me, you push an outhouse in the Yangtze." "Honorable father, I cannot tell a lie. I did." At which point his father basically beats him to death and leaves him in a heap against the wall. Boy regains consciousness and looks up at his father and says, "Father, when George Washington tell his father truth about cutting down the cherry tree, his father no beat him. He say, 'Honorable son, when George Washington cut down the cherry tree, his father was not in it.'" That's one. You want to quit? We ain't preach. You just want to keep it with Asian night? All right, it's Asian night. Good. All right. Two fellows flying an airplane. The Jewish pilot and his normal guy sick and couldn't come. His normal left seater there couldn't come. And so they substituted in this Chinese man. And the Jewish guy was not happy about it. He was making no attempt to hide it. He was slamming through all the controls on the pre-flight and flap, flaps, rudder, rudder, you know, he's going through the whole thing. Finally, he just looks over and says, "Can't stand Chinese people." The Chinese man said, "Well, this is not the rake about the Chinese people." And he goes, "People started World War II, you bombed Pearl Harbor." He goes, "That's not the Chinese. That was the Japanese people that bombed the Pearl Harbor." He goes, "Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, you're all the same." And it got dead quiet. A few minutes later, the Chinese guy looks over and goes, "I know a rake of Jews." And he goes, "What's not to like about Jews?" He goes, "The Jews sank Titanic." He goes, "You idiot, an iceberg sank the Titanic." He goes, "Iceberg, Steinberg, Goldberg, all Jews." All right. The sign says, "Stand for the reading of God's Word." So up we go. Psalm chapter 69. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture, so we'll try and do it quickly to confuse the chick doing the hand motions. I'd help you out, but all my sign language was learned in Chicago. All right. It's fun, though. It works on the roadways here, too. Apparently, we went to the same school. Hi, bye, you know, things like that. Psalm 69, verse 1. "To the chief musician, unto Shoshanim." Just name your kid Bill, for crying out loud. "A psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would..." Brother Grice, that's too... No, I'm just kidding. That's wrong. That's a serious message. Where are we at? "They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment. I became as a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of drunkards." I want to speak to you for a few minutes on this subject, not my reproach. Not my reproach. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Bible that we hold in our hands. Thank you that it's inerrant, it's infallible. Thank you that it contains the Word of God, but thank you more that it is the Word of God. Every Word of God is pure. Thank you that it's been divinely inspired and it's still breathing today because it has never expired. Father God, I pray that you would bless the meeting tonight. Would you speak through your word to these young people? Would you bless those that are discouraged? Would you chasten those that have gotten away from you? Would you call them back to a place of repentance? And God, would you speak to young people about what the future is that you have planned for them? It's so far beyond anything that they could ask, anything that they could imagine. The things that you want to do, the high places that you want to take them, is so far beyond anything that they can construct, anything that they can finagle and plan and put together. God, may they be surrendered totally to your will tonight. And throughout the week, would you speak to hearts, call out young men, and Father, I pray you do a great work tonight. Spirit of God, we ask that you have free reign in my heart, in the heart of each young person here. Help me to say everything that I should, nothing that I shouldn't. In Jesus' name, amen. Not my reproach. Reproach, by definition, is shame, embarrassment, and disgrace. Reproach is not an easy thing to deal with. Let's face it, we all like to be thought of well. Do you like to be thought of well? You like that? I realize, you know, some of there's tough guys, and they're like, "I don't care what anybody thinks." You just lied. We all do. Doesn't matter who says it. I don't care what anybody thinks. Everybody cares what somebody thinks. We're all wired that way. Now, I may not care what you think, okay? Because it's anti-Asian night, right? Okay. But there are people that I care what they think. Brother Angel, when you preach a good message, man, there'll be people give you high fives. Greatest thing I ever heard in my life. You know, those people are great. But there are a few key people, if they said you got it right, their opinion counts. I like to hear from my pastor. When I preach, when he says you did a good job, I value his opinion because he's a preacher. He knows what goes into this. You might mistake something stupid for a good message, but he knows what a good message is. I like to hear from my mom and dad that I preached a good message because they're supposed to say things like that. You're supposed to love me when nobody else does. I like to hear from my wife that I've preached a good message, and sometimes she's just ornery enough to make me pride out of her. You know, you're driving home, you're like, so? And she's like, so what? So about the... Every preacher in here is nodding because you got to do the same cotton-picking thing. Seems like you ought to know by now we're just fragile at that moment and we need to hear words of affirmation. Okay, I'm melting down in the pulpit. Wait, Brother Smith's got some pills that make you aggressive in here. Hang on just a minute. You get me some of that prednisone. Yeah. That's true. He got me last year. Remember last year we did the reeling in the bird on the string? That's how that Brother Ogden and Brother Smith were hunting. They had birds with strings on their legs. And he just barbecued me for that. I thought it was all in good fun. We like for people to like us. Now, no one likes me anymore, but usually I like for people. You like it when people like you, right? Huh? You're not, do we have any but besides that kid up there? I don't care nothing about the rest of you people down there. Brother, we all know it's chicken pox. It's all right. It's okay. We want people to like us. That's the way that we're wired. How embarrassed we feel when we do something stupid and we're reproached. Have you ever done anything stupid? Now, I'm not just talking about average stupid. I'm talking about cosmic stupid. Where you'd give every piece of money you have, two of your little sisters and your cat, just to get that moment back, right? You can almost, you hear the words going out of your mouth and you're like, oh no, 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 don't say that. You're sitting at the table and you're like, well, my dad's got a 16 gauge. Yeah, well, my dad's got a 12 gauge. And you're like, well, my dad's got a 9 gauge. Is that good? Have you ever been there when just the whole world stops to make fun of you? Does that happen for you a lot? Don't cry. Don't cry. Tears. It's just like the whole world is doing their thing and all of a sudden they stop to recognize the fact that you just made an idiot out of yours. Do you like that? Do you enjoy that? I know you got that one kid in your youth group. Yeah. Attention at any cost. Amen. But what happens when you take that hit for someone else? What kind of man takes another man's shame? When it's not your stupidity, it's not something that you did wrong, it's not a decision that you made that caused all of this, it's somebody else's. Would God ask you to be embarrassed for Him? Would He want you to be disgraced for His actions? Would He want you to be shamed for keeping His rules? Answer number one, yes. Answer number two, yes. Answer number three, yes. Now, I realize that we are in the middle of the emergent church movement. By the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @wasteoftime. Getting a Starbucks. Chai. caught in traffic. What kind of narcissism propels us to share the most banal aspects of our life with everyone? Like they care. Now, you don't understand the virtues of social networking. I hope I never do. I just don't think I'm that dadgum important. Whatever. And I look, I'm sure there's some benefit somewhere, but... Tweet, tweet. David was not having such a hard time because of who he was. He was chased and tormented because of a decision God made. Saul wasn't mad at David. David had bailed out Saul's bacon on more than one occasion. Everything that Saul asked David to do, he did it well. If there was a battle to be fought, listen, let me tell you, when you're a king, you want to win fights, send David. You tell him to kill 100, he kills 200. You tell him to kill the big man in the middle of the valley, he goes and kills the big man in the middle of the valley. Doesn't matter who it is. That guy saved Saul's bacon so many times. Saul was not angry at David, Saul was angry at God. Because God had told him, you're not going to be king anymore. I am not going to let your son be the king. And God took all that anger that Saul had toward him. Saul's over there crying, thinking, all I did was offer one lousy sacrifice. All I did was spare one little king. And all of a sudden, I can't be king anymore. What's the big deal, God? All that anger and all that animus and all that rage and all that reproach, God took it and put it right on David. It wasn't David's. It was God. Do you remember? You want to read our text again? Look at it. The middle of it. Because for what? Thy sake. Look at it, young people. I want you to focus on that. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Let's look down a little bit further. And the reproaches of them that reproached who? Thee. Who's thee? David said, I'm hiding out in a cave like an animal because somebody's mad at you, God. Not my reproach. David went from being the theme of their song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. David went from being the poster child for what every little kid ought to be to being a proverb. His name was a swear word. Mothers warn their children to make good decisions or you might end up like David. Saul so smudged and smeared that good man's reputation, he couldn't go anywhere. Everyone that he associated with ended up in a cave or dead. It didn't matter if they were priests. There's always some Doeg out there. Remember old Doeg the Edomite? Boy, there's a lot of Doegs out there today, aren't there? Amen. Little Baptist Gestapo going around. Old Doeg the Edomite. Old Doeg the Edomite caused all the priests of God to get killed. Why would God allow his choicest servant? He went from the top. Guys, come on, the top. Riding in the first chariot. The top. Marrying the king's daughter. The top. To the bottom. From the proverbial penthouse to the outhouse. Why'd God do that? Why would God let reproach that he has come on you? I know why I did the thing about Twitter. I realize we live in the middle of the emergent church. And the emergent church seeks to take the timeless principles of the Word of God, remove any rule on Christian conduct, and somehow please God. It doesn't matter how you dress. It doesn't matter how many holes you poke in your body or how much ink you want to splatter over God's creation. It doesn't matter as long as you love Jesus. Well, I think Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There is an obligation for conduct, young person. You don't get to say you love Jesus if you can't back it up. And that may fly with everybody in town, but it does not fly with Him, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You can snowball everybody in the world, but one of these days you're going to look into a set of eyes and you are going to want to get under the carpet. You're not going to hide anything from Him. Every man's work will be tried to see of what sort it was, not what it appeared to be. That Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Somebody's going to get past that facade you've been putting up, young man. Oh, everything's all right. Really? Everything just fine. One of these days there'll be a set of eyes that can see well past all that nonsense, right into the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I realize people have tried to sell you a Christianity that is costless and doesn't cost you anything. But look up here. Look up here. The kind of Christianity in the Bible, God is going to put reproach on you that belongs to Him. Are you willing to deal with that, young person? I wonder. I hear old songs that we sing, and I don't think we grasp the full meaning of them when we sing them anymore. Must I be carried to the cloud, or to the sky, on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Guys, we're not too far removed. I'm talking in America. I'm talking Obadiah Holmes, a Baptist, getting beat, and Roger Williams, a Baptist, getting banished. I'm talking about here. We're not too far removed from that. Oh, that's old history back then. Yeah, that's back when people were willing to pay a price for what they believed. It wasn't too far from here that a man named Dr. Jack Hiles got booted out of the Southern Baptist Convention. It wasn't too far from here if a man named Lester Olof got booted out of the same, and it cost them their allegiances, and it cost them friendships, and it cost them money coming in from the association. But listen to me. That reproach wasn't aimed at them. That reproach was God's reproach. Why would God do that, young person? Let me give you three, four things, and then we'll get down and let Brother Angel get up and preach to us. Why would God do this? Why does God let reproach come our way? Number one, to force us off the fence. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We love the fence. We do. We love keeping one foot in the church and another foot in the world because we don't want to miss anything. By the way, you don't have to be in the world to be worldly. Remember old Lot? Lot got drug out of Egypt, but Egypt never got drug out of Lot. You know why he picked the well-watered plain? Because it reminded him of Egypt. And anything that reminded him of Egypt. Hey, listen to me. It wasn't here. It was here. Look at me, young person. Don't you like to have feet in both pools? You don't want to get too out of touch with society, right? You need to know who all the bands are. I mean, I don't listen to music, Brother Smith, very much. I just like to keep up with things. So I'm not too out of sync with what? I'm burdened because I'm a youth pastor, and I got a big youth group, and I stare at them in the faces. And I listen to their conversations. Brother Smith, 8 or 9 out of 10 conversations that has happens in the fundamental independent Baptist teen department now are about movies, music, sports, popular culture. That's what we talk about. And you know what that tells me? Out of the abundance of the heart. That little thing right there gets engaged. We are overflowing with pop culture and movies and music and sports. I don't know. I rarely sneak up on a conversation where I hear two young people say, man, God is good. I'll tell you what, I was out there witnessing, and man, the Holy Spirit got in that thing. Somebody got born again. They were saved and baptized. Brother, I was reading my Bible the other morning. I'm telling you, that thing just started jumping off the page for me. I couldn't believe the presence of God while I was reading my Bible. I got on my knees and I was praying. It seemed like the heavens opened up and God was doing a work in my... When's the last time anybody talked like that in your youth department? I'm talking about real Christianity, not the cheap stuff, folks. David said, I will not offer to God what doesn't cost me anything. We want it free, we want it cheap, we want it easy, we want low expectations. Well, we're not on drugs and we're not on alcohol and we're not having premarital sex. Well, God bless you. You think all that is to there, all that is to Christianity? Hey, look up in here. God wants a whole lot more out of you. We like to have our feet in both pools, don't we? God will let reproach come. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read the Bible. That'll help you. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26. You looking at it? Say amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26. Esteeming. Who are we talking about here? Moses. That's right. Esteeming. This is Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know what God did to Moses? God stuck him in the right in the middle of reproach. And he said, Moses, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to duck it? That ain't meant for me. Boy, how many kids are ducking the will of God these days? Just ducking it. It's no big deal. I mean, I got my own thing. I got my own plan. Good for you. Just duck it. Whoa! You know what reproach does? When someone comes along and says, hey, you're not one of those fundamentalists, are you? It's good to be a fundamentalist, by the way. I am glad I am a fundamental, independent Baptist. Amen. Say amen. Come on, help me out now. Amen. Thank you very much. Someone comes along and you're sitting in the middle of the group, just like Peter was, warming your hands at the wrong fire. Holy smokes. 59. Can we go right up on the hour? I got five more minutes. All right, good. And they say, hey, you're not one of those Baptists, are you? And you just start feeling that reproach just running all over you. God will put you in that position to see if you'll duck or you'll pucker. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good to have a Christian young person every now and again just get up on your hind legs and say, bless God I am. I'm glad you noticed. That's the highest compliment anybody. I'd like to be identified with this crowd. I'm glad you didn't think I was one of them other people out there. I couldn't think of anything clever to say. Other. He'll send reproach to knock you off the fence. Hey, get off the fence, young person. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Get off the fence. God will send reproach to get you off the fence. Number two, God will send reproach to teach us to stand alone. You see that in verses 8 and 10 of our text. I won't go back there too much. Here's the beautiful thing about a reproach. When it starts oozing all over you, when God dumps a big bucket of reproach on you, and you're, oh, you know what will happen to people around you? They'll go, whoa. Man, you smell like reproach. Brother, you had anybody ever show up and say, hey, preacher, I heard you had a lot of reproach down at your church, and I just want to get in on it. Where do we, man, I want to get under the spout where that's coming out. Lay it on! When does anybody do that? Just lather on the reproach. Oh, man, that is ode to reproach right there, if I've ever smelled it. Is that, ooh, that's Gucci reproach there. Ralph Lauren reproach. You don't get reproach from the front end of the polo pony. Amen. But you know what will happen, preacher? You get a little reproach on somebody, everybody starts backing off. That's a good thing. I am for groups, and I get nervous whenever I see young people off by themselves. I get nervous. You got to stay with the group. But listen to me, the group can't stand. Individuals stand. And we've gotten this herd mentality. You know, here comes invitation time. Testimony time. What decision did you make? Oh, good. What decision did you make? Well, what decision did you make? Girl. Funny thing, you get a lump of reproach on you, people just start leaving you alone. It's kind of like that one kid in class. Never mind, that's a bad illustration. We won't go there. He somehow always ends up by himself, and there's a reason. Amen. God bless you for that. Young people, listen to me. God wants to use you, but God wants to use you, not y'all. Now, he'll end up using all y'all if all y'all will do right, but he wants to use you. You are an individual. Please quit identifying yourself by every... Well, you know, I have these tattoos because I want to be an individual. You mean like the other 100 million kids that have them? That really makes you an individual. Well, no, I get this big hole. I love the donut hole in the ear. That's a great, you know, the earlobe just kind of stretches around the outside. You want to hook a chain to it, like, yeah, yeah, you know. Jee-haw, jee-haw. Learn to stand alone. You don't have to have everybody else's fads. You don't have to have everybody else's stuff. You develop your own spirituality, and God will send reproach to let you learn to stand alone. Amen. Number three, to prepare us for blessing. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22, Jesus said this, blessed are ye. Oh boy, I love this first part, comma. I'm eaten up with anticipation. Here we go. When men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, now they're pushing you away, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You know what God will do? God will dump reproach on you so he can bless you. See, if God were to bless you the way he wanted to, you couldn't handle it. What God has to do is humble you down sometimes before he can put his blessing on. Hey, if God poured out all that blessing he wanted to, as cocky as some of us were, we couldn't handle it. We'd make such a mess of things. So God brings that reproach along and he says, look, I'm going to give you some reproach. You're like, why, God, why? Because I want to bless you. And when you are sufficiently humble, listen, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace. Can I put another word in there just for fun? This one ain't inspired, but it works. He gives blessing to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of God that he may exalt you in due time. God will bring reproach on your life because he's going to bring blessing. Please don't quit in times of reproach. When it's all going bad and it ain't your fault and you're thinking, man, what's going on? God is getting you ready to bless you. And then last. No, four. Is four last? Yeah, that's it. Last, I knew that. The last reason God will send reproach in our lives is to test our devotion. Hebrews 13:13 says this, let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp. Listen to this. Bearing his reproach. Amen. There'll be a lot of invitations this week, young man, young lady. Please listen to me. I'm done. This is it. We're done. I'm going to steal a minute from Brother Angel, but I promise I'll give it back later. I have those used minutes. The orange ones, I saw them on... No. There'll be a lot of invitations this week. You'll be called upon to do a lot of things. But every one of them, every spiritual decision has a price tag on it. And God says, before you get going, you better count the cost. It's not something to be entered into lightly. Hey, Jesus said it's better not to vow a vow than to vow and not pay. I'm here to tell you tonight, this ain't pep rally. This ain't, ooh, let's all surrender to full-time service. I'm saying if you do, it's going to cost you. Is it worth it to you? If you got to take it, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Well, who doesn't want to know him in the power of his resurrection? What about this? What about the fellowship of his sufferings? What about this? Being made conformed to the image of his death. What's it worth to you to serve God, young person? Let me tell you why we're failing. Because we're serving as long as it's good. And that's very short. Not my reproach. Would to God there be one or two young people that say, hey God, whatever it takes. We used to sing that song. We don't sing it much anymore. Whatever the cost, here is my life. Not my reproach, but I'll take it. Heavenly Father, bless. Thank you for the time with the young folks. Thank you for the message. May it penetrate the hearts and minds of young folks now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Jay.